At 8:22, this is KERA News. I'm Sam Baker. The city of Dallas has a new director for its Animal Services Department. Ed Jamison begins work October 18th. He formerly served as chief animal control officer in Cleveland. The Dallas Morning News reports Jamison's credited with refining Cleveland's animal care operations and improving the city's dog adoption program. Dallas officials said the Cleveland Kennel averaged an 86% save rate for animals entering the shelter under Jamison's leadership. The Dallas Animal Services Department went through a major overhaul last year after a pack of loose dogs killed Army veteran Antoinette Brown. Jody Jones was cast aside as director after coming under fire for having a strained relationship with rescue organizations and for failing to pick up enough loose dogs. When law enforcement try to crack a cold case, they send samples of unknown bodies to the Center for Human Identification at the University of North Texas. That changed somewhat this year because the National Institute of Justice decided not to offer grant money for DNA technology to identify missing people. Dixie Peters leads the center at UNT. She says the lab counted on that money for years. Without it, the centers had to reject some cases.
We haven't been able to accept cases outside of the state of Texas. We have been doing it on a case-by-case basis. For example, if we have processed some remains for that agency previously, and now they have some family references that they want to compare to that specific case that we've already processed, we will go ahead and accept that type of case.
Last year, the lab received nearly 4,000 out-of-state samples, about half of all DNA testing in the country. In the last two decades, the Center for Human Identification has identified victims of 9/11 and Hurricane Katrina. The National Institute of Justice is the only federal agency that provided grants for labs analyzing DNA to identify the missing, but the agency decided to reallocate its money this year to help the U.S. reduce a huge backlog of rape kits. UNT will receive supplemental funding for the lab in the upcoming fiscal year, which begins October 1st. A malware attack in June caused disruption around the world. The WannaCry cyber assault locked down hospitals, government offices, and major corporations and held their data hostage for cash. There are other kinds of cyber attacks, from viruses and worms to software designed to steal your password, and that's leaving people scrambling for ways to fight back. A research group at the University of Texas at Arlington is developing tools to detect and analyze malware. As part of our ongoing Breakthroughs project, UTA computer science professor Christoph Solner talked to KERA's Justin Martin about that effort.
What is malware?
Well, malware is a piece of software that can get into your system, maybe get into a network, and do something that you don't want to do.
What are a few of the most common types of malware that you've encountered?
Personally, yeah. None yet, yeah. Luckily. Well, so we were looking at relatively complex kinds of viruses where different parts interact with each other. And I mean, from one perspective, malware authors are very motivated, right? Because they can do big damage. So they have the motivation to be very clever and exploit all kinds of small problems they can find in software, like in operating systems, in Windows, in Android, et cetera, et cetera.
You're part of a lab at UT Arlington that's designing tools against malware. Can you talk about what your group has been doing so far?
So we've been working on tools to basically trying to understand all the steps that the malware is doing in a computer. So the instructions that the malware is executing, which parts of the operating system the malware is changing or reading, and then the actions that the malware is doing. It can be very sophisticated, and it can also be adaptive. So oftentimes, especially if you have a well-sponsored advanced group, then they're going to keep monitoring the system online. So they also see what the defenders are doing, and then they can adapt the attack. They can install new malware. They can change the behavior. So it can be quite a battle between the defenders and the attackers.
So when malware infects a computer, it's sort of like a lot of it creates like a backdoor for them to go back in through.
Right. And keep monitoring it and keep adapting it.
How do you fight back against that kind of attack?
I mean, me, myself, and you probably, we don't. We just give up at that point. Yeah. But for a company or for some big organizations, they do the analysis and try to close those doors and remove the malware.
It sounds like the kind of battle that nobody's really ahead in. I guess you can be reactionary to somebody attacking a system. Is there anything on the horizon you know about that would give people like us a better chance?
So the vendors of the software that we're using, they're trying to be quicker in deploying defenses. So they're trying to, as the attacks happen, analyze them and then deploy the countermeasures very fast.
A colleague of yours designed what you've described as one of the best efforts to combat malware, something called CMU. How does that work?
So it's the first tool that has this unique combination of tracking malware across the entire operating system and being outside the reach of the malware. Because oftentimes you have that problem that the malware itself attacks the analysis software. So it's a tool to allow a malware analyst to track all the steps that the malware is doing. So to create a very fine-grained log of all the actions so the malware analyst can figure out what did the malware do and how did the malware maybe change the operating system, how did it change the computer.
There always seems to be some kind of bug or backdoor that has to be patched to stop criminals from stealing from people. Is that always going to be the case, or is there some kind of software or encryption on the horizon that you think will slow down this digital arms race?
There are things on the horizon to make software more secure and have fewer security holes, but fundamentally there will always be holes because the software is just so complex. Because if you just think of your computer, what it can do, you can just plug in any device, you can do all kinds of things with computers. There's so much features, so much functionality.
Christoph Sollner is a professor of computer science and engineering at the University of Texas at Arlington. Thanks for being here.
My pleasure.
Coming up on the BBC NewsHour, inside a Syrian town after ISIS was forced out, also a special report from Yemen, and after almost four decades, the president of Angola is stepping down. NewsHour begins at 9 o'clock. In the forecast, we've got a 50% chance of rain through tomorrow, mostly cloudy skies through tonight, with a high near 91, overnight low 74. Tomorrow, partly sunny, 50% chance of rain, high near 88.